All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 71, verse 14. Psalm 71, verse 14.
Psalm 71, verse 14 reads this way. It says, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening asking your blessing, Lord, and the power of your Holy Spirit on our hearts and minds, that you might guide us, and Lord, into your truths, and that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you might be exalted, Lord, and glorified in our lives, empowered and drawn closer to you, and strengthened in the faith and grace that you've given to us. Bless your people tonight. Bless your church, Lord, and your people, that we might experience you in a greater way, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is A Continual Hope and Praise to Our God. A Continual Hope and Praise to Our God. So here's the question. Ready? What is it that brings God's people to the place of continual hope and praise to our God? What is it that brings God's people to the place of continual hope and praise to our God? That's a good question. David wants us to know that because it's what brought him there. And in a nutshell, it's our continual or continued hope, really, and praise comes from knowing what God has and is doing for us. What he's done for us and what he's doing for us. So first of all, he gave us salvation. Amen. That's where it all got started. Then he delivers us. He doesn't just do it one time. See, people think, "Oh, I've been delivered." Well, yes, from the condemnation of sin, yes, we have been delivered. But we need all kinds of deliverance, don't we? We need deliverance from the world. We need to be delivered from Satan. He fights us. We need to be delivered from the flesh, from our own selves. And so he is continually working and operating and delivering us. And then another thing that brings us to this continual hope and praise is a testimony that God gives us of his great faithfulness. So let's back up to verse 1 just for a moment. In verse 1, we find our salvation. He says, "In thee, O Lord," by the way, this is a continuation of a psalm of David. And he says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." He says, "Let me never be put to confusion." So he puts his trust in him. And he had to do that one time at the very beginning for eternal life, right? Why do we continually put our trust in him? Because how do we know that he's faithful? Well, he saved us. He gave us eternal life. The world thinks the reason why you and I are here tonight, the world would think, is because we're religious people. That's what they think. We're committed to our God. And in a sense, they're right, in the right sense of the word of religion. But what we're talking about is he saved us. He gave us eternal life. And so that's what draws us. That's why we keep coming. If God didn't give me eternal life, I would have no reason to come. I'm not coming because I'm committed to worship and committed to a ritual or a formality of practice in religion. I come because God saved my soul. And if that was not real, you and I would not be here tonight. That would last for so long, and after a while, if it wasn't real, we'd be done with it. I told you some time ago about one of my bosses years ago, back in the 90s, he owned a carpet a place where we sold flooring. And anyway, he went to St. Louis. It was there. We were in Rolla, and he went to St. Louis on some weekend thing. I don't know what it was, but he spent $400 or $500. Can't remember what it was on. I'm just going to call them happy pills. I'm sure they were some kind of natural thing that's supposed to make him happy. And I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday. He just had this big old smile on his face, you know. He wanted everybody to see he had this big old smile on his face. And I guess if I spent $400 or $500 on something, maybe I'd want them to, I'd want to at least think it was real. So anyway, he was telling everybody about this seminar that he went to, and it was, I don't know if it was nutrition or whatever it was, but he bought these things that our body's missing or whatever, and it's just made the difference, you know. It's just, you can't buy happiness. But he wanted to believe that. And isn't it a shame that people capitalize on that? By the end of the week, the smile was gone. Amen? I don't even know if it made it to the end of the week. But why did he quit? I would dare say he didn't buy another bottle of that stuff. I would dare say. For sure, he quit somewhere along the line because it wasn't real. Likewise, listen, in your life and mine, if the Lord wasn't real in your life, wouldn't it stand to reason you wouldn't be here tonight? Listen, there are some people that are misguided maybe and ritualists. I don't understand that. There are some people that belong to the wrong kind of church, right, that doesn't preach the truth. And maybe they go because they are appeasing themselves. I'm doing this for God, and so therefore God's going to look at me and he's going to accept me. But we know the truth that in ourselves there's no good thing. It has to be eternal life. It has to be the work of God, or we're simply just not going to have it. And so in verse 1, he says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Lord, never let me be misled or misguided by myself, the world, or what the devil might do." And so because of our salvation, we can rejoice in that. And then the second thought is our deliverance. Notice what he says here. Watch this in verse 2. He says, "Deliver me in thy righteousness." Did you hear that? Listen, that's an important statement. Not deliver me and I will do better. Not deliver me and I'll work harder. Deliver me and not deliver me and I will try to be the best that I can be. He says, deliver me, how? In thy righteousness. Did you see that? Listen, remember what Jesus said? Without me, you can do what? No. So I need the righteousness of God. So many people, and I've been there myself, and I still fight that. We want to do right before the Lord because of all that he's given to us in our life. But listen, we can never do that in our strength and honor him in that. So David says here, deliver me in thy righteousness. Listen to this. And cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Did David ever have challenges in his life? Did he ever had? I mean, listen, we can start off with the lion and the bear. And then he goes to do right by his father and goes to check on his brothers when the giant was there. And his oldest brother, Eliab, was giving him a hard time. "You've come down here to see the fight. You're no good for nothing. Who'd you leave the sheep with?" I mean, my goodness, that guy just went on and on and on. And then all of a sudden, when he got into by Saul and defeated the giant, then all of a sudden Saul went against him, right? And he had problems time and time again. And so we can see why he would say, "Deliver me and incline thine ear unto me and save me." Look at verse 3. "Be thou my strong habitation, where I dwell, where I live, whereunto I may continually resort." That's good. That's good, right? I want to frequent that place. I want to, listen, as you seek the Lord in prayer, you're going to find it a place of refuge. Please, listen, when you seek God, tell the Lord, "I want to meet with you. I don't just want to pray because I'm supposed to pray. I need to sense your spirit. I need you to draw me. I need you to give me a sweet hour of prayer." Now, when I said that, I'm not talking about really literally an hour, but whatever the time is that you spend with the Lord, that it might be sweet, whether it be 5 minutes, whether it be 10 minutes, whatever it is. But Lord, I long for that part of the day, whatever time of the day. I say the best time of the day is early in the morning before you get your day started. But if it's in the evening, if that's good for you and that works, just whatever time that God will make that sweet to you. And by the way, in the morning and the evening, good ways to start and end the day. And David longed for these times, and he had his habitation there. And then notice this, in verse 4 again, "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust." Did you see that? "From my youth. From my youth, I put my trust in you." See, that word faith and trust are interchangeable. So what moved David to write this? Well, he needed the 71st Psalm, right? That's what it was all about. Well, it's time to write the 71st Psalm. No, this was a heartfelt compassion that God put it in the Psalms here. But it was a song that he was singing unto the Lord. And listen, People like to sing songs, right? You see them in their cars, and they even make commercials about them. I saw a commercial, and I guess they were advertising these ear pods, right? And this girl's got them in her ears, and she's walking down, and she's bebopping to something, and everybody's backing away looking at her like, wow, she's got the life. Look, she's got these earbuds on, and she's listening to some music, and her life is complete. Oh, listen, that's temporary. That's not going to bring you the peace and the joy that God wants to bring us into. I'm not opposed to people listening to good music, hopefully good music, right? But here's the whole thing. David had a song in his heart that God gave him. And he was making melody. He was singing out these truths about God's grace in his life. Do you know that's what God wants to do in our lives? And so how does that happen for you personally? Well, you need to ask the Lord. Lord, bring me to the place to where my heart rejoices. I love you, but I want to rejoice and I want to make melody in my heart to your honor and glory. And so David was there. He says in verse 6, By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be how often? Continually of thee. David was just meditating on this. He saw that God was his salvation. He sees here that God is his deliverer. And then he's going to realize the testimony and explain that of God's great faithfulness. Look at this in verse 7 here. I am as a wonder unto many. In other words, people that are looking on. People look at me and they wonder. Why? Because of who David was? No. Because of his God. You remember, listen, when David went to go fight Goliath, what happened? And he stood before Saul. Remember, we found somebody to go to the giant, go fight the giant. Oh, Saul was ecstatic, right? Wasn't he? And then all of a sudden he gets there, looks at him, and he says, what? You're just a youth. And he's a man of war from his youth. You haven't got a chance. And he said, oh, let me tell you about my God. Amen? Let me tell you about the one you forgot. And he began to tell him about how the Lord had delivered him out of the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear, vice versa. Anyway, he delivered him from a lion and a bear. And he was saying, just as the lion and the bear, God's going to deliver. He knew. Listen, do you think David wondered if he was going to die that day? Did David have any fear in him? No. You go back and read that account, and here's what you're going to find out. When they had their little exchange of conversation, the giant and David, when it came time to do battle, the Bible says that David ran toward the giant. Amen. He knew. Now, wait a minute. Listen, it wasn't David. It was David's God that gave him that confidence. People will look and say, whoa, what is that? Listen, God, believe it or not, listen, God wants to give his people that same confidence. Was David something special? Only that he was a child of God. He's just as special in the heart and mind of God as you and I are tonight. And if you don't believe that, my goodness, listen, Jesus came, the Son of God, and died for you. And so how more special can you be to God Almighty? And so God says, listen, I want you. Do you believe this? Listen, God's plan is for you to glorify him. He wants to be glorified in your salvation. Does he not? And he wants to give you something, and it starts with eternal life, but he wants to give you something every day that the world looks at and says, what is that? What is that? Now listen, the world that reject God can't stand it. They hate it. They like the attributes of Christianity. Gentleness, kindness, that's the fruits of the Spirit. Long-suffering, everybody loves that. The moment you tell them it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, that's it. That's fighting words now, right? You ever see these sports stars get interviewed on news? I've seen a couple of these clips. And they start saying, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus. Whoop, up. How did we lose them? What happened there? They just got cut just like that. I'm not kidding you. I heard a newscaster say, oh, and just like that, he was cut off. Oh, baloney. And just like that, as soon as you mention the Lord Jesus Christ to the world, they're at enmity with God. And so, but still, listen, the world wanders. It may mock, But those, listen, that look on, they should wonder because it's God in us. So he says this in verse 7, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor. How often?
All the day.
Isn't that good? And so listen, that is that God's will just for David or is it for all of his children? For all of us, right? So here's the thing, ready? If I am not filled with the praise of God all the day, can I bring that problem before the Lord and ask him to fix it? Lord, should this is the day that the Lord's made, right? Rejoice, and again I say rejoice.
Right.
Rejoice always. Isn't that what give thanks in all everything? And so if there ever comes a time that you can't give thanks, and I want you to know there are many times in my life and in the day that I can't give thanks. And if I could just stop, everything is all right, even if it's not all right. Can I say that again? Everything is all right, even if it's not all right. What do you mean by that, Brother George? Are we not heaven bound for eternity? Is this world not going to be burned up anyway? People, make a name for yourself. For what? It's gone. It's going to be gone. There'll be no name in heaven or in earth but Jesus alone. Amen? And so David understood that. You think David was out to make a name for himself? He was just busy loving the Lord, and the Lord used him and all his flaws and failures. And so we thank the Lord for that. Verse 10, for my enemies, plural, speak against me. And they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. He says, there's a battle. Saying, listen to this, God hath forsaken him. Now listen, you got to see this. They were looking at him and they were in wonder saying, this is different. But now listen, they're looking at him and here's what they're saying. God has forsaken him. So there's something going in David's life, and it has gone in David's life, where time elapsed, where they thought God should have intervened, and no doubt David thought when he was on a run from Saul, God should have come a little bit earlier than he did, like yesterday, right? Have you ever been there? Lord, take me out of this trial yesterday. But God was with him the whole time, and the devil and his crowd are looking on and they're saying, huh, God has forsaken him. Will God ever leave you or forsake you? No, he won't ever do that. And so, this takes the grace of God, really. It really does. We don't always feel that way, but God can carry us through in that truth, right? Lord, I don't always feel that way, but I need you to bring me there, to that place. And where is that place? In God, in the heart of God. And the truth of God's word here. And so, verse 10 again, it says, for mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. We got him now. O God, be not far from me. And did David know that? Oh boy, did he ever. O my God, make haste for my help. Right? Let them be confounded and consumed, that the adversaries to my soul, let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Listen, then he says this, and this is our text, but I will hope, how often? Continually. And will yet praise thee more and more. Two more verses and we're done. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness. Did you see that again? There's the righteousness of God. Remember verse 2, deliver me in thy righteousness. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. In case you wondered how long, all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. They're innumerable. God can bring us to that place. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Isn't that something? Whose righteousness was David concerned about? God's righteousness. Amen. Whose righteousness should we be concerned about? God's righteousness. Lord, are you faithful? Yes. You know, I want to tell you something and we're done. I need help with that truth to understand that. Oh, I understand it, but I need to understand it on a daily basis. Lord, you are faithful. When things don't go right, is God still faithful? When things don't go right in your life, and so if you get upset, frustrated, and in case you wonder, I do. I want you to know that. At that moment, you know what I need? God's understanding. Do you follow me on this? Listen. Don't be ashamed of that. I'm not supposed to. We'll just keep that suppressed. No. Listen, if something goes upside down in my life, in the day, and I get upset, I've got to ask God to bring me to that place to where I know He's in control, and then He takes that burden, and He brings me to that place to where I can believe that. Now, I will tell you this, there are times when I have prayed in the morning, Lord, I want to walk in Your grace, and I will experience something, and I'm reminded that I am walking in the grace of God, and He's in control, all right? So that's the first part of the day. By that afternoon, I can forget. In case you wondered, I can forget. But at the moment that I forget and I get frustrated, then I've got to stop and say, oh, see, I've got to seek the Lord in my heart and in my mind. And when I do that, God can bring me to that place. But I have to start off the day saying the first thing, Lord, I need You. Or I won't know any of that, or I won't even think about that. Don't answer this question. Ready? Have you ever gone through a whole day mad? Don't answer that. That means you didn't see the Lord. If you're mad, and if you went more than one day mad, and we've done that, we missed the Lord, didn't we? We don't have to miss Him because He's ever present with us and for us. And so tonight God reminds us that He's right there for the asking. Amen? And He wants to because He wants to glorify Himself. He didn't say it would be easy, but He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. And I need the Lord to make that real to me, to make that truth. Because my flesh will lie to me. Do you think the world might lie to you and say, oh, He forgot about you, didn't He? You think the devil would say that to me? Absolutely. You know what? I need God's help to not listen to that, to the world, the devil, or myself, the flesh. And that's a work that only God can do. So tonight, God has given us an occasion to praise Him continually. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne. We thank You for the truth, Lord, that You give to us in Your word, that we can receive by faith, and we interchange that word by trusting You, the giver of those promises, and truly You are worthy to be trusted, and You are the truth, Lord, and we can count on You always. And so, Lord, bring us all to that place where we continually think about walking in Your presence and in Your righteousness and in Your strength, that we might experience Your great grace and faithfulness like never before, Lord, and that we might enjoy that, and that the world might see that and desire that as well, that we might tell others about You. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to give You all the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.